Welcome to 0 o'clock.
A podcast created to be a safe space to learn and grow. Grab your favorite drink and join us.
Now brewing, be sweet.
Welcome. I am your co-host, Kay.
And I'm your co-host, Carrot.
Welcome to episode 2 of season 4.
Yay! Hasn't been that long, has it? Or has it been like a month?
No.
I don't know. We're already off schedule because poor Carrot, poor me, I've been sick. For tomorrow's going to be exactly a week. Sorry if I still sound horrible because I feel horrible, but here we are recording.
Yeah, and actually this is one of our like newer episodes that we haven't really like done something on, which is again what's exciting about season 4. We're doing a lot of things that we haven't done before, and we're gonna be talking about cooking. And yeah, let's just get right into it. Oh, but before we do that, going per our theme and also tradition, what are we drinking?
I'm drinking seltzer water.
Yay!
Because I was running late, so I just picked up the first thing I saw. What are you drinking?
Water.
Gotta stay hydrated.
Yeah. Nothing exciting.
I was gonna make some tea, but I didn't have time. So it's okay. It's all right. Let's drink our water.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with being hydrated. But yeah. All right. So let's get right into it. All right. Before we like think about like recipes and stuff per our theme on cooking, before we get into like the nitty gritty on like actual food like that we can cook, because we are going to dive into that topic, before we get into all of that, let's start it with the basics. What type of food do we even like? What kind of cuisine is what we eat?
Well, if you know anything about me, I love to eat, so I feel like I don't have set favorites. Actually, I'm lying. I do, but no, I'm lying again. But okay, let me start over. So I really like Japanese like sushi, but I'm picky. Like I don't eat anything that has raw fish. So do I really like sushi? I don't know. I like Mexican food, Italian food, but I was gonna say that I like trying new things, but Kay knows that I have a really hard time trying new things.
Yeah, that is a very on par.
Like I always say I'm gonna, I think I've explained this to all of you before, I always say I'm gonna try something new and then I get upset when I do. I'm ranting. What are your favorites? You know, just take it over.
Okay. So everyone already like probably guessed it, it's definitely Mexican. It is by far top number one. Second is Korean. I had to, okay, funny story before I say my third. Actually, no. Second is Korean. Third is Italian. But, you know, like actual Italian food, not whatever Americanized version there is out there, because I absolutely abhor Americanized Italian food. Anyways, so with Korean, I actually had to, I've been eating Korean food for like, since I was like about 9 or 10, because my parents like used to work with a lot of Korean people. So they were introduced to the cuisine, introduced it to me. I have like the funniest story. So I was eating, we go to like this one spot every single time we want Korean food in near K-Town. And I was about 11 and I usually always got the same thing, which was like a basic like soup. I didn't eat it with like spices at all. Like it was like basically like ramen, udon, like something going on there. I don't remember what I used to get. But one day my parents took me and they were like, you should try something new. Like, you would get the same thing over and over again and you need to try more foods. So I was like, bet. And I saw like these noodle thingies with like vegetables and I was like, great, that looks great.
Bro, how are you gonna go from one set of noodles to another set of noodles? Yeah,
no, but they were like, they were, it wasn't a soup anymore, like it was actual, okay, like noodles. Okay. So then I order it, didn't realize they were glass noodles. Obviously never ate like because, you know, soup is soup. Like, I feel like basically, like, it was like what I was eating was miso soup. And it's just very, like, it's really good. Miso soup is very good, but it's also very bland. So, like, I don't even remember what I used to eat. But, like, going from that to, like, glass noodles and stir fry and, like, a lot of, like, things from a kid that never ate, like, extravagant food. Or, like, back then I didn't even eat, like, spicy Mexican food. I was actually really picky as a kid. And it was glass noodles and I legitimately was bawling my eyes out in the table because I thought they were eels. And I was just so uncomfortable. And I was like, the texture of it is making me want to cry my eyes out. And I did. But it's been progress since then. After that, I got over it. I started getting like actual spicy, like tofu soups, and chef's kiss, like they're so good. We go like every other time. It's like our favorite spot. I try to go like to legit like K-Town with my parents, and then they're like, no, let's go to our spot, and then we go. But yeah, and because like I've been like diving more into like Korean spices and like Korean food, the reason I love it so much is because like spice level wise, it like meets Mexicans wise, like the spice level. So it's really good. And like basically I feel like for literally both cuisines, you're kind of just like whistling and like sticking your tongue out, but like you're still eating it because it's so good. And like it's better when it's hot, like literally for both cuisines. So I just feel right at home when I eat Korean food.
What an explanation.
Yeah, I had to explain that one because one, that funny story of me bawling my eyes out eating glass noodles. I don't think I even finished them.
Korean food's good too. I feel like I haven't had it as often to say that it's one of my favorites. And like when I said mine, like it wasn't any order. I just said but I'm a picky eater at times. I've always said like as long as there's chicken, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I go.
All right. So speaking of food, do we cook? Like, are we cookers? Like, do we cook?
I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want to be a cook. But I live at home and my dad gets mad at me when I always try to cook things because I make a mess and I hate doing dishes. But other than that, I'd want to be a cook. I just think I'm definitely like, I need to follow the recipe type of person. I know that there are people where like they can like slightly get off the recipe and it'll still taste fine. But if I don't follow a recipe like to the T, I just don't think it tastes good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm an avid like cook, but when I do cook, I enjoy it very much. And I was like talking to one of my coworkers a few like months ago about like cooking. And honestly, I just find the act of cooking very therapeutic. Especially when I don't have someone like badgering me like behind my back. Which was how it was growing up. Like growing up, my parents forced me to be in the kitchen and learn. But like now, if I want to cook, I can just go up there and cook. And
no, like my dad still like hangs over my shoulders. And that's like, I like agree with you. Like I like to cook when it's just me in my space, like doing what I'm doing. But my dad constantly is like in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I usually cook also when my mom isn't around. Because one, it just like gets her off my back. But two, like the reason I do is because I know like she's probably coming home late, or like isn't here. And so I'm just like, I feel like I should probably make something and cook something. And whenever I do cook, I try to make things that we normally wouldn't eat at home. Like for example, like I am trying though, because there are moments where I feel like I wish I can like, and I'm gonna talk about it a little bit because a little bit later because it's in one of the questions, but I feel like I want to dive into learning how to make like more complex Mexican recipes, because I feel like that's the only way I can really like feel like I could say like, hey, I made this for you. But now like it's really just kind of a lot of Italian, basic Mexican recipes, which like I can follow, but I want to dive into like more of like the ones with like more steps and that take a bit longer to make, and stuff that like I'm really not comfortable with yet, like for example like chicken on the stove for like 6 hours, like I can't do that. But other than that, yeah, like I find the act of cooking very therapeutic. I love cooking. I do try to find recipes that I have never tried before, and like experiment on like how it, like it would taste. Like sometimes, like I think it was, I'm trying to remember something that I made that it was my very first time making it, and it was like a hit. I don't remember. There was something. Oh. There was like a creamy mushroom pasta that I made and never tried it before, but I thought like, oh my God, like this would taste great, not only with mushroom, but with spinach and with like random things I was thinking about in my head. And I put it all together and bomb.com. And everyone loved it. And I'm like very surprised because a couple of the ingredients on the recipe like I didn't have, so I had to like think on the spot like what I can supplement it with. So I was very scared that it was going to taste the way that I thought.
That's when I like mess up, like if I have to follow it, except like one thing that I'm like pretty good at like making from scratch where I don't need a recipe, because I feel like you can't really mess it up that badly, is mac and cheese. So like my mac and cheese is like the best, like I make it for the holidays and stuff and it's so good. But other than that, like I need to follow a certain recipe until I've cooked it enough times that I don't need it anymore. But like I really enjoyed like when we used to cook, like me, Kay, and Kat, we used to cook a lot like in college, and that was really fun. And even when we went on our grad trip, like we tried different recipes. I would say that I rather cook than bake though. I don't know how you feel about baking.
I started off baking and then I went into cooking. I like both for different reasons. But baking is very hard for me. Not because I can't bake. Like I can. I make pretty good things. It's just the hassle of baking. That I just don't enjoy. Also because I'm Mexican and I have a lot of things in my oven that I have to take out if I want to use my oven. So that's just an annoying aspect of it. So I don't bake a lot, but when I do, I love it. Holidays without a fault, I'm always the one making pumpkin cupcakes with cream cheese frosting. I've been making it for about 5 years in a row already because it is a hit. Everyone loves it. I love it. I like make them not only just like for like Thanksgiving, but like around literally like the fall season. That's when I start. But yeah, like I enjoy both an equal amount for different reasons.
This bitch has talked about these pumpkin cupcakes, pumpkin bread ever since I've met her, and I have yet to try these things.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
I have yet to try them. So you need to.
We didn't have an oven.
We didn't have an oven. You're right.
I never could make it, and then I've never seen you for Thanksgiving. So.
Okay, we're going to have Friendsgiving, and you're going to make them.
Yeah.
That's what you're bringing to Friendsgiving.
Yeah. They're so good. I love making them. I literally have the recipe there just in case I mess up, but I really don't need it because I know it to a T.
That's like that chocolate pudding pie. Remember we made it the first time junior year, and now I make it all the time for the holidays. And my little cousin, she's a very picky eater, and that's all she eats. Like, I make her a pie just for herself, and she'll have it like breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay.
But that one's like not real cooking. Like, it's more of just like heating up the milk and mixing everything together, and then you just put it in the fridge because it's not like I have to like cook it or bake it. But that's like a pretty good thing mm-hmm. that I can make. What else? In terms of Guyanese foods, the only thing I've ever tried was like Guyanese style, like chow mein, which I've tried it at school again. Remember sophomore year, I made it for you guys. That was the first time I like cooked something, but I feel like Guyanese recipes, they're not like written down. And it's always like, you know, like your grandma just throws everything in the pot and it like tastes good. And then I'm like, oh, how did you make this? And then she tries to explain it, but you know, they don't really explain it that well. And like, you can't really look up Guyanese recipes online. Like there are a few, but it's just not the same. So I feel like it's something that I have to learn how to cook, like just by doing it. But my family don't trust me enough to do that. Like, but I want to. That's one thing, like, especially like chicken curry. I want to be able to make chicken curry myself because it is my favorite food of all time. I love chicken curry. Also roti. It's like a Guyanese staple, and every like Guyanese girl needs to be able to make it, which is why I used to not want to make it because I didn't want to fall into the stereotypes of being able to have some round roti. But now that I'm older, not that I'm falling into the stereotype, I just really want some roti when my grandma's not around anymore, you know? Feel me?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we just touched on, like, a lot of, like, different things I wanted to talk about. So, before I go into family recipes, something that you just mentioned, like, that I'm thinking about and I wanted to bring up for this conversation, because I feel like it's so, like, important and, like, we should validate it and also, mm-hmm. like, not to be all, like, feminist, like, theory up on this bitch, but, when I was thinking about this episode, like, I knew we were going to talk about food, but also, like, something, like, that was on my mind was, like, how do we even view food in general? And it just reminded me, and, like, out of everything that I studied in, like, my women's studies major, I think this is the one thing that, like, always stuck out to me is during, like, one of my feminist theory courses, we were talking about actual food and like the act of eating. And I feel like I told this to everybody that like I personally know that like it's just like so interesting because we were talking about like the global South and how the global North views quote unquote other food and how like especially for first and second generation when it comes to traditional food from our home, we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to like introduce it to people mm-hmm. in the global North because we feel like this sense of shame because of the smell or because of how it looks and like all of these things. So we started talking about like what does it culturally mean to even serve somebody food and so like having like thinking about that and then thinking about this episode, like it just got me thinking about also like what it does to like I obviously am not going to like speak on your behalf, but like, for example, mm-hmm. me, like, what does it even mean to me now to like want to make my own cultural food? Mm-hmm. And it's something that I talk about a lot with my supervisor because she's also Mexican American, but she's a second generation Mexican American. So there have been like some like erasure of like culture. And like, as she got older, she wanted to like dive back into it, and it's something that I've seen a lot, and it's something that even occurred to me for a couple of years where I erased or wanted to erase my like my ancestry. And now there's a point, I don't know if it was because of academia, I don't know if it's because I'm older, I don't know if it's maybe a mixture of both, but I want to do like dive into my roots. And something that like you also mentioned was, you know, being in the kitchen, and you know, at a certain point girls have to know how to do a certain thing, a certain recipe to prove something. And that's kind of where like I was like headed on when I made that earlier comment, because it's my parents encouraged me to be in the kitchen just because I was a woman or just because I was a girl. And
that's exactly like how it was for me too. And like going back to the whole like erasing your culture, like as a child I always like hated being Guyanese. I hated who I was, I hated everything about it, and specifically the food. Like I hated, like I used to take my own lunch to school, and I hated taking Guyanese foods to school because I didn't want people to look at me or ask me what it was. And the fact that I like don't know how to explain what I'm eating to other people makes me uncomfortable. And it's just all these different things like made me have a horrible relationship with the food of my culture. But just like you said, like you don't know if it's like going to school or just getting older. But I have started to embrace my culture again, and it makes me want to learn how to cook these foods, not for the reason why my family wanted me to, which the Guyanese culture is a very sexist culture. So as I was growing up, I was told that I have to be able to do it. And I hated being told that. I hated knowing that as a woman, I needed to be able to cook because that was my job. So I used to go against it. And I feel like it's a constant battle of like, well, now I want to, but I don't want them to think I'm doing it for their reason because I'm doing it for my own reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's especially how like I felt, and I feel like it's a continuum of feelings. And yeah, like now, and talking about it with like my supervisor, it's like I've started to realize just like how significant like food is to one's culture. Like obviously like I knew it in a textbook like context, but now it's more of like, whoa, like we're the only Mexican people in my team. And so the fact that I can like sit there and talk with somebody on my team and share the kind of food that we eat, like not only in a like vocal aspect of like, oh my gosh, do you eat this? I eat that. Like, this is what we have instead of that. Like, for example, like she's from like technically the north part of Mexico, so they only eat flour tortillas. They don't eat out of corn. In the south where my parents are from, we only eat corn tortillas. We do not like make them out of flour, even though both are handmade. And even that in itself just shows you like how big of a place Mexico is and its diversity, and like so much like how different it is even if in its cuisine. And so like just to sit there and share that with somebody who understands, like I know like there are people who say they love Mexican food, but it's like, you know, what kind of Mexican food? Like Americanized Mexican food or like authentic Mexican food? And it's one, what, even when people who like do love authentic Mexican food, it's different when you want to share like that homemade Mexican food. Like, yes, you can get it at a restaurant. Yes, you can get all of these things from different places, but do you get it from like someone's pot from their home, you know? And like, just thinking about that, like, it makes me want to, like, share that food with other people, but I don't want, like, someone disconnected from them to give it to them. Like, I want to give that to them, you know, to show that kind of love and for them to appreciate the food that, like, not only I'm making, but I'm giving it to them out of, like, that much love that I have. So, again.
That's how it is with, like, Guyanese food. Like, I want people to try Guyanese food. But it's so different to go to a Guyanese restaurant than to have like someone from my family make it, or even like myself, like once I can do it, it's just, it's different. But I think like anybody would say that about any food from their culture.
Yeah. But yeah, again, a long spiel of like a portion of like what Carrot was saying, but then again, so kind of going into that, right, and thinking about like my own like family recipes and things that I want to learn how to make, a big portion of it, and I'm very happy because I'm starting to like learn it, because I'm starting, like, my mom is, I'm like, I'm very nervous to make it on my own, but my mom has given me the liberty of, because I've talked to her about it a couple of times, and I think she finally like sees it and understands, like, you know, it was hard for her at first too, because growing up, like, we butt heads a lot, and cooking was one of those things where I refused to get in the kitchen. She forced me to sit there. I would like just burst out in anger. And it was like my form of rebellion towards like not only her, but like the sexism like that it carried. And so like in the kitchen, like we never really worked well. And now like it was very hard for her to understand my point of view. But I feel like she is beginning to like open up and like see where I'm trying to come from now, where it's like, you know, yeah, I didn't like it growing up, but like understand why. And now it's more of like, I want to do it for myself, and also to really truly connect to my roots. Cause that's what it is. It's not because I want to be the whatever matron of the house and, you know, provide mm-hmm. for my husband and my kids, because I don't have that. But like now, one of the recipes that I'm beginning to like, I'm beginning to learn, and it's like taking step by step, because like it's the final step that I can't get right. But it's pozole, and I'm just very happy because like it's something that, I mean, I personally like, I can have one bowl and that's it, I'm good. But my whole family loves this, and like it's one that they always want. So I kind of want to just know how to make it for like in the future. I can actually provide that for them. But it's basically just like corn kernels. It's maíz. And it boils in a pot for about 8 hours. And then you put like either chicken, pork inside. And then the broth is just very like heavy. Honestly, the only thing that's really like cooking is the maíz, because it is like literally from the plant, I don't know what it is. But they're pretty thick pieces of maíz, and then they just have to boil until softened. And then you will have that with the broth, and then chicken or pork. I usually like both. And then you put lettuce, it's called, I forgot the English, radish, bit of lime, oregano, like powdered oregano, onion, and then you usually serve it with fried tortilla, and then you put like either beans or sour cream or both, lettuce, tomato, cheese and stuff, and then you eat it together. And it's really good. It's something that we have more on like the holiday season, because it's like warm broth. So it's kind of to like, you know, feed your soul, warm it up. Another one is tamales, which it's not that it's hard to make. It's just, it's a very long process, because it's constantly like kneading dough for a very long time and making sure that it's the right consistency. And then you make variations of it, so like either red, green, salsa kind of tamal with either cheese or chicken inside, rajas, which is just peppers, like sliced peppers, and then they're like different places of Mexico have different ones, so some of them are candied, some of them are pineapple, yeah, so they have like very different kinds of tamales. There's others that, and then you wrap it around a corn husk. But there are other places where they actually use banana leaves to wrap up the dough. And then that I know how to, like, I don't know how to make the dough. Like, I just have either my mom or my grandma make it. But I love the process of, like, literally having the husk and then making the physical like tamal, because it's like literally wrapping a lot, and it's again a little sexist, but all the women come together to make tamales together. And you also don't do it very often. You usually do it for special occasions. Same mm-hmm. with mole. It is definitely, mole is definitely where we're from, the state of Puebla. It varies all around Mexico, but where it originates from is from Puebla. They make a sweet version of it, which is actually from chocolate. And you have like this dark, what would I say? Like a dark broth. It's not broth. And it has like a lot of spices that have to be toasted and blended and stirred for a very long time. My aunt tried to like teach me a few years ago, and I do not know how to make it from scratch. It's very long. It's a very tedious process. And then you just pour that like liquidy substance on top of like a chicken and then rice and beans, and it's so good. I had like authentic mole from Puebla. Like it's literally the sweet kind, and it's so good. I am hopefully in July I get to have more again, because it is just the best. I dream about the mole. Again, only made for special occasions. Like if you're making it from scratch with a group of people, usually it's weddings. And yeah, those are my favorites. Pozole is the only one that I've
there's seen. A lot of like Guyanese like desserts and sweets that I really want to try. Those I feel like are a lot harder. One thing that I really want to make, it's not really, it's more like a appetizer or a snack. It's bara, and it's like grind up dal, which I don't, dal is like yellow split peas. See, this is the part of food that I hate. Like I hate having to explain it, but it's yellow split peas, and then we like crush it up, we like grind it up, and you make a dough out of it, and then you fry it. But like your dough has to be like a good consistency, so it like puffs up, and not a lot of people can do it. But my grandma, maybe I'm biased, but she makes the best bara ever. And I really want to be able to do it, but it's like a very, very long process to just like get the dough right. Mm-hmm. There's like, it's not really similar because we don't use like dal, we just use flour, but bake is basically the same thing, just with like flour, and that's a lot easier. I haven't tried it, but it's kind of like just fried dough at that point, but you can make it sweet or savory, so that's something I'd like to try. But like I said, it's hard for me to try these things in my house, but once I move out, I'm gonna chef it up.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably taste bad, but that's how we learn. But I do want to like get back to my own roots and start making my own foods, and maybe like dessert wise like I could start over there, because I feel like there's not a lot of baking. Well, there is baking for Guyanese foods, but I'm just not going to get into that. But there are so many other things that I can just make that doesn't have me opening up my oven and taking out my 5 million pans. Mm-hmm. And then we'll try the roti later on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can make it round enough to anybody's liking at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I am not particularly fond of my own kitchen, but I make do with what I have.
There's one thing, like it's pachoni, but it's like the insides of like a goat. So it's like the intestines and the heart and the liver. And I love it, but I don't think that's something I could ever make. And we only eat it for Christmas. And every Christmas I think, I'm like, what am I gonna do when I don't have my like older family members to make this for me anymore? Because I cannot make it. Like I literally cannot see myself touching it when it's not cooked, but it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. I think that's the hardest thing to make too. Like I don't know how long I'm supposed to cook all of those parts, but it's so good.
I'm trying to get my cousin to give me her birria recipe, because a lot of people have been loving birria.
What is it?
So it is I'm pretty sure people use goat, but she doesn't use goat. She uses chicken or pork. I think it's like the shoulder part. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a lot of meat. And it basically like is cooking in this sort of red kind of sauce. It's brothy kind. And then you just literally wait until the meat is so soft that it can just basically come off on its own. Like it just like splits apart by itself. So it's cooking for hours on end. Mm-hmm. And then this like special consomme, which is literally everything that the meat has been basically marinating in the pot. It's mm-hmm. like onions and a bunch of like types of chilies and cilantro and spices and just broth in general. Mm-hmm. All of that gets put aside. And with all of that consomme, you basically pour it on top of tortillas, let the tortillas cook. Then with the meat that has been like mm-hmm. apart, you put it in like a taco, and then you put like cheese on it, and you grab it, and then you dip it on the actual consomme that it's been boiling in, and you eat it. It's actually really good. Like she made it I think about a couple of months ago. She's actually made it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But the first time she made it, oh my god, all of us went to her house because she was very excited. So she's like inviting everybody. We went to her house. I kid you not, we all probably ate like 10. It was so good. And I've been begging her to give me her recipe because I want to make it now. Mm-hmm. And I can't follow like a specific like birria recipe from online because she doesn't use the traditional meat that's used for birria. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's so
good. That does sound good though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, again, diving back into our roots in a very like non-traditional kind of sense. And also this just reminds me, and I feel like I talk to everyone about it because at my job we have a lot of like vegetarian, vegan eaters, and also like I've been getting more into like vegan food, not because I'm like planning to go vegan, but I realize there is some form of like vegan food has to be made correctly for you to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so like the people around me have been like very encouraging, and like a lot of them are also like they use the food services, so like Blue Apron and like Purple Box and stuff like that to make like recipes. But the recipes that they have are actually like, they like talk very highly of those subscription boxes, and like honestly I'm thinking of, you know, maybe
I've always wanted to try those,
of doing it, because like the recipes that they make, I like sometimes they talk about food and I'm just like, wow, you have the time to look for that, and they're like, it's from a box, and I'm like, got it, but it sounds like super great.
I feel like in the end it's like worth it though, because like you spend all the money on different ingredients anyways, like you might as well just put it into something like that, and you get to try all these new different recipes.
Yeah, I guess
it's not a sponsored video.
It depends on the person though, because like I was with my coworker that recently moved, that's what she decided to do. Mm-hmm. And she just said that groceries were more convenient than the boxes, because sometimes like you don't even have the time to cook them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then actual still go bad. So it just like really depends on like what works for everyone.
Or yeah, it's different for each person.
But yeah, and like just having those conversations of like types of food and like veganized kind of things. There's mm-hmm. this one person, her name is Alex. I don't remember her entire handle, but she's on Instagram, and she's also Mexican-American and makes veganized Mexican dishes. And I just like, I've been following her for about a year, and I just find so much joy in that, because like she did it for her own health, but at the same time, again, for going back to your roots type of situation. And she's like, I didn't want to give up loving my Mexican food without like sacrificing my health at the same time. So she comes up with such great recipes of like legit authentic food. And even with like simple things, like over the summer, she made watermelon water.
Watermelon water.
Yeah, it's just basic
watermelon and water.
Yeah, it's they're called aguas frescas, and so what, like, we also make like,
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, so like that's what it is. And that like takes me back to my childhood. So it's very good, and I saw her make it and I decided to like make it myself because I usually have my mom make it, but that day I like wanted it so badly, so I made it myself. And even just that of making something very simple that reminds you of your youth, it tasted fantastic. And I'm just like, maybe
food is such like an important part of who you are, and I hate that always shit on this country, but I hate that the people in this country makes us feel like we have to hide these parts of ourselves. But I'm glad that we're in a place now where we're learning to embrace it and open ourselves up back to it. And I like that you mentioned earlier about the whole like second generation thing, and like while we're still first generation, it makes me think of like my kids, like what are they going to do, like are they going to want to embrace my culture, are they going to want to embrace like their own culture, you know? And I've always had that fear of like as the generations go on, like is my culture going to die out because of society? And I hope not, and I hope like if anything in my culture stays, like it's the food, like food is just so important.
Yeah. And kind of to like just finalize, right, this episode and everything that we've talked about, you summarized it very perfectly of, you know, this is something that we need, you know, it's not something that is just in the moment kind of thing. Like we need to feed ourselves, we need to, you know, give ourselves those nutrients and provide for our bodies in a very literal aspect. So you know, this kind of, you know, as much as we did talk about like foods that we enjoy and foods that we like, but also just understanding the value of what it means to even eat. And I know, you know, there is probably a lot of, there's a couple of, you know, I'm not going to assume, right, but maybe a couple of our listeners struggle with eating. And that's a very like, you know, true thing to be feeling and a very thing that should be validated. But you know, to each their own struggle, but I hope that you find a better relationship with food, because it's something that, you know, it is for ourselves and it is for our body. And that's kind of where this whole aspect of not only learning to like have a relationship with food, but just a relationship with our cultural food also. So yeah, again, also brings me a lot of nostalgia because it just reminds me of how much of a picky eater I used to be as a child and how I grew out of it and enjoyed all of the food that was around me and truly began to appreciate, you know, what I was putting in my body.
But yes, I hope this episode made you want to go and eat your own food. I'm hungry. I didn't get to eat dinner yet, but
yeah,
we need to embrace where we're from and don't let others tell us what we can't eat and cannot eat. And I feel like that goes back to the whole like those who struggle with eating. That's one thing that I've struggled with. Like I don't talk about it often, but like I mentioned earlier in the video, like the fact that people would like ask me what I'm eating, or just like I feel like people were judging what I'm eating, led to my own struggles of eating. And it's easier said than done. But like, just find the things that you enjoy and don't worry too much about what others are saying. And like, for me, it always goes back to like body image, which I know we have an episode about body image, but my relationship with food also plays a role in the way that I see myself. And I will say, like, one thing that I've learned is that the food from your own culture is not unhealthy. And that it, like, I feel like I have to say that because I remember growing up and I'd go on these diets and just eat salads. And I would think that Guyanese food is unhealthy, but that's the food of our people. Like that's what they eat back home. Like that's what makes us strong and like made us who we are. Like think of our ancestors. So like, it's not unhealthy just because it doesn't look like the healthy food of these
the global north
doesn't mean that it's not healthy. So whatever you're struggling with, I hope you get through this.
Yes. Before we like finalize. But yeah, so yeah, we encourage you, love your food, love your culture, love whatever it is your culture is. You know, there is no right or wrong answer anyways. We hope you enjoyed this kind of very different form of episode, but also, you know, touching on a lot of subjects at once. So
yes, like always, we have our fun topics that always end up in with a little deeper meaning, but yeah. Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yes.
Go eat some food. Yes. Try some new recipes. Let us know what you make.
Dive into your nostalgia. And follow us on Instagram at 0 o'clock podcast.
And our Twitter, 0 o'clock pod. And we'll be back. Why did I say that like that? Ew. We'll be back with, I don't know what's next, but we will be back soon.
One episode. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.